All right, Alexander, we have a hacking at Twitter. A hacking, a scam, a phishing scam. I don't know, call it whatever you like. So, a couple of things with Twitter, which I think are interesting for you to dig into. First of all, the hacking event. We still don't really know exactly what happened, if it was hackers from the outside, if it was an inside job, where I'm actually hearing that they might have had some inside connections there. But basically, hackers got into some of the blue checkmark elite that use Twitter. Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, all kinds of big names. Joe Biden actually was there. And basically, they took over their accounts and they sent tweets where they said to all the followers, obviously you're talking about millions and millions of followers, where they said something along the lines of, if you donate to this Bitcoin account, then, you know, we'll give you twice as much back. And that was the scam. And people bought into it. And these hackers, these guys, they made a lot of money from what I understand from this scheme. And, okay, it speaks to the mess that is Twitter, I think. It really does speak to the mess that is Twitter. On the other side of things, you have a blacklist that came out from Twitter's internal operations, and that blacklist shows that that Twitter does compile a list of accounts and of trending topics that they manipulate, that they exert control over. So many times what you see as trending topics on Twitter are edited. They're edited and they're controlled. And this once again goes back to that debate that we keep on talking about and keep on coming back to, that Section 230, publisher platform. Well, here you go. You have more evidence right now, concrete evidence, that Twitter is acting 100% as a publisher on all levels, whether they're dealing with accounts to ban and censor or whether they're dealing with trending topics, which does affect and manipulate the news. Those trending topics make news, and many of the times it drives news. And there's people at Twitter that are deciding what they're going to put there for the trending topics. And on a final note, you get to the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, who has testified before Congress and has stated many times that Twitter is not a publisher and Twitter does not manipulate any of these things, any of these trending topics, any of these accounts, that Twitter tries to take a very hands-off approach. He said this under oath. In my opinion, the guy has perjured himself. He's lied consistently over and over again. So Alexander, a lot of stuff going on at Twitter, which is a mess of a company, a complete freaking mess of a company. And we were talking about it before the video that, you know, if you got rid of Twitter, you would solve a lot of the U.S.'s social ailments as well, because the small group of people that use Twitter cause so many big social and cultural problems in the United States of America and in the UK as well. So Alexander, dig into this story, take it from whichever of the topics I threw out there.
Well, let's take the hack first. I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, everything about it, it looks like a financial scam. Somebody's out to make money. They hacked into all these accounts. They managed to extract money from various people who follow these, various celebrity people, Biden, Obama, whomever. I mean, it shows extremely weak controls in Twitter. Probably it was an inside job. It definitely wasn't the Russians, before anybody says it was. I mean, it doesn't have anything like that sort of look about it. I mean, this is just somebody, as I said, out to make money. And it shows, and this is, by the way, goes directly to the point that you made about Twitter being a company that's, you know, in a complete mess. Clearly, their security protocols, their controls are not very good, or at least are not working, because, I mean, this should not have been possible. But clearly, it is possible. It has happened. I strongly suspect, by the way, that there was some inside help in it. That is one thing. The blacklist story, I think, is a huge one, because, I mean, Twitter has gained so much power not just, by the way, in the United States and Britain. I can remember where, some years ago, about 10 years ago, when Twitter was first starting, was that it actually orchestrated a color revolution in Moldova. I mean, I remember all these people using Twitter and organizing to storm the parliament building there. So it's got this enormous power. It can literally break governments. And at the same time, it claims to be this impartial, open platform that, doesn't interfere in what people say on it. It just provides a service. It's a utility, if you like. And it turns out it's nothing of the sort. It's got a whole blacklist. It controls and manipulates, how opinion is shaped. And it not only is a publisher, I think it's actually worse than a publisher. I think what it is a major political force. It's something that works. It's an agitator more than just a publisher. It agitates and it controls opinion, because you see what we see in the United States and in Britain are these incredible sort of Twitter storms and Twitter mobs that suddenly are mobilized and they can attack and, do terrible things to people. I mean, they can harass them, they can bully them, they can do all sorts of things there. And what we now discover is that Twitter has control over some of this. And that is, I think, quite a terrible thing. I mean, Facebook may be doing, things which we don't agree with. Other people in social media may be doing, but nobody does this in the way that Twitter does. It can actually not just topple governments, it can ruin lives. And we've also had a journalist who's just resigned from the New York Times. I think her name is Barry Weiss. Not somebody, by the way, I particularly like. I mean, I've followed her views. They're not my views. But, I mean, she does make a very valid point, it seems to me, when she says, that the New York Times now works in lockstep, essentially, with Twitter or with all these Twitter mobs, and that you might as well have them now, Twitter, almost running the thing. So it's absolutely out of control. There is a expression from English history about an overmighty subject, a feudal baron or a company which has now become too powerful and is using its power irresponsibly and has using it in a way that undermines the political, the legal and political order. And it seems to me that Twitter is doing that, is acquiring some of those qualities now. So absolutely, I think that, the kind of protections it has need to be looked at very, very carefully. And it needs to be cleaned up. We cannot allow these Twitter mobs and these Twitter storms to operate in this kind of way. We're all in favor of free speech. But if Twitter has blacklists, which it turns out it does, despite what Dorsey said to Congress, which is the opposite. I mean, he was saying things to Congress, which we now know are not true. And there are legal implications in that. You use the word perjury. I agree. But, if they have blacklists, that means that they control their content. That means that they're responsible for their content. That doesn't mean that goes, in the case of Twitter, beyond being merely a publisher. It means that they are responsible for some of these Twitter mobs and Twitter storms. They are both a publisher and an agitator.
Very divisive platform. The world will be a much better place when Twitter's finished.
Well,
that's my opinion. They cause a lot of trouble.
Well, I know people. I know people who you know, are terrified of Twitter. I know people, I know there was a person I know, I knew, who took certain views on certain issues. Not my views at all, by the way. She was a health service worker at a British hospital. She was savaged on Twitter. There, you know, her own views are, by the way, you know, perfectly mainstream views, but they weren't liked by certain people. And she was afraid for her job. Now, we can't have that. That is simply wrong. She wasn't breaking the law. She wasn't acting unpleasantly, inappropriately. She was fully abiding with her employment contracts. And yet she was afraid of what was going on in social media, which, you know, unnerved her. We can't have this kind of thing happening. I mean, for me, that is harassment. That is bullying. And when people are threatened in that kind of way, that is exactly what you said, Alex. It is a company out of control. It is a company which is a mess.
Yeah, it's really strange because Twitter is the smallest of the big tech. It's not even big tech when you look at their numbers. It's really not that big of a company, especially compared to a Facebook or an Apple or Google. Google could buy Twitter if they wanted to with cash right away. It's not that big of a company.
No.
But they have those damn blue check marks, and they get those tweets embedded in all types of other publications and blogs. And, you know, the news, the nightly news and the cable news run those tweets as well. And it gets a lot of exposure, those blue check marks. That's Twitter's – that's the deception that Twitter plays on the public. People perceive it to be a much bigger company and a much bigger platform than it really is. It's really all a lie. Twitter is a complete smoke show.
Yes.
But going back to the hacking of these blue check marks, who cares about the Elon Musks and these guys? I think there could be a real national security risk when you hack the account of a Barack Obama or Joe Biden, because Twitter does have the public part, but it also has the private messages. So what if Alexander, Joe Biden, or Barack Obama, or some of the politicians and these former presidents or current state leaders had private messages within the Twitter platform that are now out in the wild? What does that tell you?
Well, it shows, again, that their security protocols are terrible and that it's a mess of a company. And since I have no doubt at all that this was done by criminals, by the way, this particular hack, I mean, that it makes it even more worrying in some ways, because it means that if criminals can do it, intelligence agencies absolutely can. And certainly, I think they probably wasn't, you know, they were getting some help from the inside. But it shows the fact that something like this could happen at all, how poor their systems are. And you're quite right, it does have national security implications. And given that it has national security implications, that seems to me to make it even more important that this company is properly regulated. It's not a mere private company that provides people with a platform. It's not just a notice board, as it, you know, they're all trying to pretend they are. They're a lot more than that. They're a company, as I said, which holds, well, as you said, which holds some of the secrets or potential secrets of the United States and, you know, of its political leaders. And it's a company which, as I said, doesn't just sit back and provide a notice board, but which is used as a forum for agitation, to sort of stir up mobs, Twitter mobs and Twitter storms, which target individual people. I mean, we can all tick off. I mean, I gave an example of somebody because I said I know this particular person, but we could tick off so many examples of cases where we know somebody has said something that perhaps they didn't quite mean, you know, slipped in the wrong word, something was said, and then suddenly, you know, this pack of people pounces on them and they find themselves in all sorts of trouble, and that this can be really upsetting for them and cause huge distress to them and to their families. and can lead to them losing their jobs.
Yeah. Is it a risk that Donald Trump depends on Twitter so much? Is that a risk?
Well, it is
There's
a
a plus
risk.
and a minus to it, obviously.
Well, it is a risk because, of course, Twitter is not his friend. It can switch him off whenever it wants. I mean, they can always find some reason. I mean, I'm not saying that they should do that, but or that they will do that because, I mean, it would be risky for them to do it. But you shouldn't speak to your people through a platform which is hostile to you. I would have thought that was a dangerous thing, actually, for Donald Trump. And again, it shows the danger of monopoly, which is what Twitter does have. Twitter has an effective monopoly over this kind of form of social media activity. Maybe it's a natural monopoly, but if it's a natural monopoly, it needs to be regulated by the United States authorities and regulated in a proper way. That is not an attack on free speech. That is a protection of free speech. It makes the public square possible. As I said, at this moment in time, it's not a publisher. Well, sorry, it's not a platform. It's a publisher and it's an agitator. And that publisher, come agitator, holds this ability of the President of the United States to address his own people. And that I find a really disturbing thing.
Final question, I have to ask this. Why is it okay to tell people to uninstall TikTok, to tell people to not use TikTok because it is the information that's being collected via TikTok, via having TikTok installed on your mobile phone, goes directly to the Chinese government because it's a Chinese company and they're going to collect all the data and the data is going to be used against you, or the Chinese government's going to be using it against you. So there's a big push now to get everyone in the West, at least, off of TikTok, the fastest growing social network announced. All the kids are using it. So, even US congressmen are telling everybody uninstall TikTok. What's the difference between TikTok and Twitter? Because Twitter is doing pretty much the same exact crap. They're agitating, they're causing trouble. I'm sure they're giving their data over to all kinds of intelligence agencies as well. Intelligence agencies that probably want to remove the current US president, no doubt about it. What's the difference then?
There isn't any difference. I mean, well, the difference is that one, Twitter's American and TikTok is Chinese. But I would point
Yeah, but
out
the enemy
something.
you know.
Here's the
Yeah,
enemy.
the
Well,
enemy you
exactly.
know.
Well, exactly. I mean, the other thing to, I mean, the thing to bear in mind about TikTok is that, there are valid, maybe there are valid concerns about TikTok, but at the end of the day, what the government in Beijing does with your information ought to worry you a great deal less, I would have thought, than what your own government or your own intelligence services or your own security services might do with your personal information. I would, that was a much more immediate concern. And again, there don't seem to be the proper controls or regulations to ensure people's privacy and data security. And how can there be, given the way this whole system is structured? So I would say Twitter is a much more dangerous thing for, people who are following this program than TikTok. As you rightly say, TikTok is expanding fast. It's Chinese, but ultimately it doesn't do anything different
It
from what
can't
the others do.
deplatform me though.
No.
It can't make me disappear.
No. No.
And it's not in collusion with the other big tech, where once Twitter decides to deplatform you, then it, passes it along to the other
Exactly.
big tech, which are right down the street from where their offices are, and you're vanished from all the social media.
Well, indeed, exactly right. I mean, you're cancelled. To
So
use the
yeah,
word that's
you're right.
to
So
use the word
TikTok's a
that's
lot less dangerous.
yes. I think it is much more dangerous. I mean, I think Twitter is more dangerous. I think that the United States, as I said, needs to look. I mean, to be very clear, I mean, in China itself, I accept what the Chinese do there within China is, very, very controlling of their own populations. But what a company like TikTok does in the United States, it seems to me, is more, much less dangerous than what Twitter does. than what Facebook does, than what all of the others do, given that they're all working together. They are a cabal, a cartel. I've said this before. What they are ultimately is a cartel of tech companies. And it's a cartel which has both, an economic and commercial interest, which it abuses, as all cartels do. But in addition, it has a political one. It has a political agenda. And that's what makes it especially dangerous.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like, drop us a comment as well. Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this channel a lot. It helps keep us going, helps keep us pumping out videos. And we are putting out a lot of videos these days, Alexander. And we also have a lot of new products as well that we're putting out these days on the Durant Shop. I just put out today new enamel magic mugs, which are really cool. I'm waiting for mine as well. I ordered it right away the minute I saw them go up, and I saw the design, I saw how it looked. I said, this is awesome stuff. And we also have all kinds of new t-shirts and new polo shirts, embroidered shirts. I put up new long sleeve shirts as well. All kinds of good things, Alexander.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got amazing things in our shop. We've had them, obviously, for a long time. But now we're getting even better things. I mean, I haven't yet managed, because they've only just appeared, but I haven't been able to get myself some of these amazing enameled mugs. They're a wonder to look at. But, I mean, we've now got mugs, magic mugs with flags of various countries. This is the United States, which is the country we've just been talking about. This is of Greece. You can see it's a different size. So, you know, perfect for a double espresso, if you prefer. 11 ounces. The US one is 15 ounces. But this is the Greek flag. And we've got, you know, mugs with lots of flags of many nations. If anybody wants to suggest another nation, you know, please do. We will certainly look into that. I mean, we want to expand our range, but we've got even more and better mugs appearing all the time. I mean, you've got these amazing enameled mugs. We're getting all these amazing shirts now, embroidered shirts and amazing shirts. I mean, all of them of the same quality as the shirts we've always had, 100% cotton, beautifully fitting, incredibly comfortable to wear, phenomenally stylish, like the polo shirt I'm wearing now. But, you know, we're going to find even more and even better ones. So the thing to do is to go to our shop, see these amazing mugs, you know, these new ones with the national flags, the enameled mugs, the new shirts that are there. Also, you know, don't forget, we've also got hats, hoodies, and stickers. We've also got an expanding library of ebooks. I mean, our shop is, an Aladdin's cave of marvels. And can I also say, a growing range of marvels too. And always, and remember, you support the Durant, just as Alex said, by coming to our shop so that we can continue to provide you with videos like this. I mean, not to put it too strongly, it's not easy to do what we do. We come under a great deal of pressure, and we have to work very hard to do it. So you show your support, you support us, in fact, by coming to our shop, and you can buy these amazing things that you will find in our shop. So don't hold back. Alex will tell you how to do it.
You'll find the link to the Durant Shop down below, thedurantshop.com. Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.